And I really want to look at the whole issue of engaging eternity. So as sons of God, we have access to I am. You know, I am that I am. And that was what was and is now. So for God, everything is now. So we think of it as, well, what was before there was. And we call it eternity. Eternity really isn't a biblical word, but it's an English word that gives us an understanding of what we think in of eternity being. And eternity is very different from infinity. Being infinite means there's no end. Eternity is more of a, it's a time consequence of there is no time, it's all now. But we have access to that. So we have access before there was anything other than God. So when God was just there and we were just a twinkle in his eye and a thought in his heart, we can now engage with that again. So we can engage with the eternal aspects of our identity and our destiny, because we were doing things before we came here. And we can reconnect to that because it gives us inspiration at a spiritual level that informs what we do here and empowers what we do here, because God assigned us to creation before we came here physically. So we were involved in creation as sons before we came here physically, and we had amnesia and lost our connection to it. So God wants to restore our connection to it and restore our connection to what it really is like to be connected to God's heart in that way, to be moved by his heart. Because God never panics. How can you panic when it's all now? So people have different views of time. Some people believe that there is time's already there and it will just happen. For me, if that's the case, then, well, what involvement we got in it? So I don't believe time is fixed. I believe God's heart in eternity is for what will be, and we're responsible for being partners with him in creating what will be. And what he's doing is every single person who has ever existed and ever will exist, him already exist, because of course they're within the now of his eternal state. And every one of us is making decisions, choices, every millisecond of our lives. And he's connected to every one of them. When I first engaged that, it was just like, whoa, way, way too much information. You know, it was just too much to contain, that even the thought of that. You know, I remember, I don't know if you've ever seen a film called Bruce Almighty. And in Bruce Almighty, everything's fun when he's got all this power and he's doing weird stuff. But then all of a sudden, all the voices of all the people who are all praying, asking him to sort things out, all suddenly take, and he's like, I didn't sign up for this. And I felt like when I got a glimpse of God's mind and his connection, it was just like, whoa, I just want my bit. You know, but it showed me his heart and his love for everybody and creation itself, and that he is constantly making course corrections, because every one of us who start to go off course, he's making a little correction to help us get some good out of the thing that we've done to bring us back into course. For at that point in time, let's say there's 108 billion people presently, we'll probably add a lot more onto that. You can think how that works. You can't, can you? So I couldn't even. How does that work? Well, because to now, there's God has the full capacity to connect to everything now. So nothing is ever a surprise for him. And he's never phased. And he already planned before everything even started to make sure that we would be restored to blameless innocence and face-to-face relationship. Because Jesus was agreed to be slain before the foundation of the world. So it was already there. You know, God found us in Christ before he ever lost us in Adam. And therefore, everyone, he's at work. So we can begin to engage in his heart, which is his heart of love for everyone and everything. And that is what begins to motivate us. And then we see our bit in it. Because we see, well, this is my assignment in creation that I'm reconnecting to. So, and some people, just in their heart, they know there's something that they're stirred to, or I don't know why. But when you get to know why, and the fact that God assigned you to certain things as a son of God, as a created light being, then it starts to then empower us in what we're doing here. Because it's not like we turned up 50, 60, 70 years ago, whatever. It's like we've always been in that sense. So we have a history of engaging the heart of God, and we can reconnect to it. And then in the ages to come, we have an ongoing destiny, which is going to be outworked in different things as we go forward as sons of God. So it's an important place to engage. And it's like our eternal home in the dance of God's love. That's how I like to feel that it's like. Because when I'm there, it is just full of life and energy, and I begin to connect up to the sum of his thoughts of me. And I get some glimpses of them. And sometimes I hear a conversation that I connect to. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's something that is for me. And it's like being there. And it, when I first went there, I could not go there with my mind, because it was just, I couldn't be linear, non-linear at that point until I got deconstructed and reconstructed and renewed. And now I can connect up in a different way. So I have a more cognitive understanding of it, in a sense, but it's still way beyond what I can try and fathom out. But I know stuff. It's like you know stuff instinctively because you are part of the thoughts of God and his heart and his desire, and you absorb it. And as you absorb it, it then begins to direct your life, and you begin to move in that area. And you know, I have a desire for certain things which I never would have done before, you know, if I hadn't have connected to that desire there. So we all can be in that wonderful place of God's love and his relationship, and in that wonderful dance, which is where true intimacy and true identity come from. That's a restored relationship with the very essence of love. It's God's very essence is love. And that's not just us feeling loved, which is wonderful in itself. That's us being able to be an expression of love. And of course, we're all in a process with that. You know, none of us are perfect in it. And some areas of our lives may be awesome, and other areas feel like a train wreck, you know. But actually, we're in a process. And God will use the awesome bit, and he will look to help deal with the train wreck bit. Because he works at us continually. And he does not say, well, until you deal with your train wreck, you can't be here. So, because he brings us there, because in that area, we may be so mature, and in this area, we may be so childlike, you know, or damaged, you know, but he's not looking at it from that perspective, because he always sees the whole, you know, but he's working with us to restore us to that sense, not just to experience love, but to be an expression of love and to love creation. You know, when I said, you know, yesterday about, you know, living loved and loving living, and then living loving and expressing that is what God's desire is, because that's what he's like. You know, he is love, and everything that he's created, he has pleasure and joy about, including us. You know, when he looks at us, it brings pleasure to his heart. We are the apple of his eye. We are the treasure of his heart. So we can have our restored spiritual memory. To do that, you may need some deconstruction. You know, I needed a lot of deconstruction. I shared some of that yesterday over breakfast time or the round table. And, you know, I've shared quite a lot of that, of my testimony out there, in terms of the deconstruction needed to get rid of my mindsets and framework of my religious thinking and other thinking, so that my spiritual memory became remapped over my mind. So I have a consciousness. We all have a consciousness. It's like everyone knows we've got a brain, and people talk about the mind, but actually it's a consciousness of how we view reality. And people's consciousness can expand through experience, because you then know more things, and it can be an expanded and ongoingly growing thing. But our spirit also has a consciousness. So it's like the area what I call my spirit in me is not my spirit's consciousness. It's just the construct that houses it. So God lives within that construct. It's like a mountain. There are doors in that construct, and there can be a flow into that construct. But my consciousness is elsewhere. My spiritual consciousness is in heaven and in the realms of heaven. But I'm totally connected instantly between those two realms. That's what happened. So I got deconstructed and then I got sort of started to get renewed and I started to remember what I was doing before I was here. And I started to be reconnected and my mind started to operate non-linearly because it started to operate from the perspective of the creative light of God. And so then our spirit can then move and direct us. Our soul agrees and cooperates with that once we're separated and reintegrated. And it's no point separating your soul and spirit and leaving them separated. Because what's the point of that? You're not whole. So the soul and spirit are separated. It deals with the ego of my soul needing affirmation in the wrong way to affirm its own identity independently from God. Once that gets separated, then I get reintegrated and I come into agreement, I come into wholeness. And that changed everything for me when that happened. And I believe everyone needs to go through that process, and it may be different for everyone. You know, pray it won't be like mine, because mine was really hard. You know, but your process might be different. But it gets you to the point where soul and spirit are in agreement and you can live in heaven and on earth at the same time. Once that happened, then I was able then to go into a whole different beyond and engage what my memory was of things before. So we can then become reconnected with who we were as pre-existing spirit beings, reconnected to creation as it was before it came into the bondage of corruption. That motivates us to participate in its restoration. You know, having a memory of what it was like when it was in perfect harmony and there was no darkness really motivates me to want to see it like that again. And so where it's groaning and is in bondage, it is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed to bring it into freedom from that bondage to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, into our glorious light. Because we were clothed in glory in that relationship that we originally had. So we have this sort of figure of eight infinity symbol, which is to me what I see as the eternal circle, is we can stand in what is every day in heaven, in the ark of the name of God, in his name, in the four faces of God. And then we have access to walk back on that ancient path back into the heart of God. Now, I now don't walk back into it. I just reside there and I reside in the middle. And then here I try and work out and walk out what I am flowing from there. Now, sometimes that works out really well. And at the end of the day, it's like, wow, this is just like it should have been. And sometimes it's just like, that didn't go quite how it should have been. So I need to deal with that. So why did it not go how I should? Well, I made some choices which weren't so smart. Well, why did I make those choices? Well, I must have been listening to the wrong thoughts. Yeah, and sometimes that happens. But the more we spend time and are consciously aware of being in his heart, the more his heart has an opportunity of creating those desires in our heart, which will cause us to work it out. And just walk it out every day, realizing that we're in the midst of a process of cosmic transformation. It's not like it will be, therefore they're broken bits. It doesn't all work as God intends. So sometimes we come across a lot of those broken bits and we have then to make sure we're not affected by them and we bring something change into them. But it is an interesting walk. And I used to go and just stand in the name of God, and I can still do it from a perspective of my consciousness focusing on a place where I am. I have not yet discovered a way to think about all the places I am at the same time. I can think about it in concept, but I can't think about it in experience. So I am in multiple places. I know I'm in multiple places, and those multiple places are all contributing to what I'm doing here. But when I think of one place, then I can be connected to it. So if I was to think about right now where I am in heaven, let's say on my mountain and sat on my throne, then I only have to shift my consciousness to think. And I'm there, connected, and then I can describe to you what's going on there. But then if I was then to describe to you where I am, let's say in the heart of God in eternity, I would have to stop thinking about that and start thinking about that. Now, I think eventually I will probably be able to, and we all will, be able to be able to multiply connect to all those thoughts, because I'm receiving all those thoughts, but I'm just not cognitive of it. But there's still rewiring and remapping and reconfiguration of my consciousness to be able to operate as sons of God, which is not there yet. So this is sort of for you. You may be just starting to focus on being in the name of God and in the four faces of God. Then it's like, well, I can walk this eternal circle out. This is covenant. When they made covenant, they walked it out in this figure of eight. So the blood was in the middle. They had agreements of the covenant, and then they would walk around the covenant together and meet in the middle to say, we're in agreement. And then they would then live that out in their lives. And we're in the new covenant. And the new covenant is open access to God without going through any mediation or anything else. We have access. So we have access to be in the name of God. We have access to be in his heart. And then we then can begin to flow from that. But it's a process rather than an event. And you have to learn. And let's say you're engaging the mind of God, which is so vast, you're only going to get a glimpse of it, or the bit that refers to you, and the bit that refers to your engagement with the mandate or the destiny that you have. And other people will connect up with their bit of the destiny. And when you put it all together, you get a whole, which is why we can't act as individuals within the mountain of the house of the Lord. It is corporate. We are living stones within a larger gathering, although we are still a house of God ourselves. Everything with God works fractally. So you look at something and it looks amazing, and you take back and you realize, oh, that's just part of something even more amazing, and that's made up of the same picture, but it looks like the same thing, but it's made up of little things which are all the same. Like a frond of a fern. You look at a frond of a fern, and actually it's like the fern, but it's a mini fern that makes up the bigger fern. And then when you look at that frond, there's a mini frond that makes up that. And that's how God does things. Heaven operates like that. You can engage something in heaven that seems like, wow, this is it. But then you go back and realize, oh, the whole thing looks like this. So I go into the tabernacle in heaven, and I go through the way into the truth and into the life, and I'm in the Holy of Holies. And then I realize that heaven itself is going through the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, into the Holy of Holies. And then actually it then goes beyond that into another three dimensions beyond. So when you first see something, you may just see the small fractal image of it that you engage with, because you can connect, but you're part of a bigger picture. And we're all part of a bigger picture. And we're all part of the fractal whole that is God himself, that he wants us to connect up to be part of that picture. So we're all part of the jigsaw puzzle, if you like. And we need to see where we fit and what bit of the picture that we represent, because we're representing God's whole sense of his identity and purpose of love. So we can rest in that place. And when you're in that place, you just allow his thoughts to envelop you. It's like being in the womb of his heart. You were birthed there. And you can feel his frequency, and you can feel love, and you can feel vibrating in your spirit. And then that can be revealed from your spirit to your heart, your soul, and all those amazing thoughts about you. If he was to tell you them all in one go, it would completely fry you. So he gives you bit by bit. You know, it's like, you know, you don't give a baby a big 6-pound steak to eat, do you? You sort of give them milk. So he gives us what we need when we need it, and then we mature and he starts to give us something more, and it builds us up and it nourishes us and it nurtures us, and we begin to become more fully aware of our sonship. But most people only know their sonship in relation to this realm, rather than, well, who was I as a son and who will I be as a son? And we're in this middle bit, but we need to connect up to the beginning so that eventually the end will be in agreement, because we are in the middle outworking it. So you can listen to him as he unveils the hidden mysteries of your destiny. So many people just want to see their scroll. I want to see my scroll. What's on my scroll? What's on my scroll? You know, and they want to read it all. And God won't let you read it all. Because I guarantee if you read it all, A, you would think impossible. B, you would then think, well, how do I try and do this bit? Rather than just being. So he reveals what you know what you need to know on a day-to-day basis. That's why we've got to walk with him relationally every day. You can't just on a Monday, or for us, let's say on a Sunday, come and have this amazing encounter with God and you get filled up with all the stuff you need for the week. It doesn't work that way. It's like every day is a new day. And that's a new choice for us to find new mercies for that day. I only got what I need for today. I don't have what I need for tomorrow yet. I'll get that tomorrow. And yesterday's is gone. So if I'm still thinking about what I should have been doing yesterday, I will use up the resources by worrying about what I didn't do. And if I keep thinking about what I might have to do tomorrow, I will use up today's sources on worrying about tomorrow, which Jesus said, today's got enough of its own. Think about today. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom and everything you need will be given to you. So today. So don't get caught up too much in, and I know people have to make decisions, whatever, but that comes out of knowing the love of God today. Because the peace you have today can help you make decisions for what you need to do tomorrow, because you're in that place of peace and rest. That enables you to carry and have the heart of God for what it is you might be wanting to do in the future without having to worry about it or try and fret about how you figure out what you should be doing, because you only have to take a step at a time, day by day. So as you're in this place of intimacy, he will reveal how special you are to him. You will begin to feel your value and worth to him, not because of what you can do, but because of who you are. You're his child. You know, all our children are different. So they all have characteristics that are different, but you love them all the same. God loves us all the same, even though we've got different things. And if, let's say, one of your children, you know, has a fantastic university degree and another one never really got A-levels, it wouldn't stop how much you love them. And they would be of equal value to you. Society may see them as differently valued, but you shouldn't, and God doesn't. So he doesn't value us on what we can do for him, but on who we are. We're his children. Therefore, he will reveal and show us our true identity, and he will show us our purpose out of the identity, not for it. So many people are searching for their identity in their purpose. And therefore, if they weren't doing it, they wouldn't know who they were. And as soon as God removes something from some people, they fall apart because they don't know who they are. And we have seasons where we're called to do certain things, just like in a normal family. When you've got young children, you have to do things very differently from when they grow up. And when they flee the nest and have gone, you know, ours keep coming back, but you know, things change. It's like, well, who am I now? Am I still a parent? Well, of course I am. They might not live in our house, but they're still children. You know, they're still ours. But the role you play changes. And therefore, if you have your identity in that role of being a parent to your children who live at home, and when they leave, well, who are you? You've got to have your identity in, I'm me. And I'm me irrespective of what I'm doing. I'm still me. And God wants us all to know that. So yeah, let's be transformed to release what will be. So when we know God's heart, it enables us to say, I want to be like that. And if I'm not, then transform me. And then we can begin to resonate with our scroll. We can resonate with our destiny because we're in relationship. You know, destiny is not something you should be concerned about. Relationship is. Because out of relationship, destiny will automatically begin to outwork, because we will be in relationship and outwork it and flow it. So you may find when you engage in this place, scrolls of revelation, and they're like thoughts. Don't necessarily expect to see all these scrolls and read them all. You know, a scroll is just something that contains information or revelation or truth or a mandate or whatever it might be. The scroll in itself is nothing. It's what's on it. It's the important thing. So when you engage there and you're looking for, I'm engaging in God's heart and I want to connect up to who I am, it's like, expect it to be like thoughts in your mind or feelings in your heart, not just to be information that you can read. And I was talking to Nick, and you're saying, well, I see all these stuff, but I can't see what's on them. Well, that's because God doesn't want us to see what's on lots of things that he shows us. He just wants us to receive them and let them begin to draw and shape and move us in the direction God wants. But I was desperately wanting to know everything until I was free from needing to know everything. And then God was free to show me everything he wanted to show me. Whereas I needed it, he wouldn't show me it. When I didn't need it, he was able to show me it. It took a while to get there, as I was sharing this morning. So then he will start revealing our redemptive gift, which is how we're wired to outwork our destiny. And, you know, we all have different redemptive gifts that God has made us to be. And it's really important that we recognize that in each other. Then we won't get frustrated with each other because they're different from us. You know, and there are certain redemptive gifts that you wouldn't want to give a job to. You know, like mercy gifts. Don't give them time-sensitive jobs, because they get caught up in mercy situations and totally lose track of what they were doing. So you don't give a mercy gift someone that you're... If you do, be prepared for them to do it in their own time. You know, because that's... And so God apportions that to us, and he doesn't give us things to do outside of who he's made us to be. So he's wired us a particular way because that's how we will outwork who we are. And when you're at peace with that, you can just be free to be you. And then when someone's different from you, you honor and receive the difference, not trying to make everyone the same. You know? So there's a lot of things that get revealed when you start getting close to God. So he starts to reveal our true identity. And it can be like a scroll that carries that, our true destiny. Yeah, what we will do and what we will be. You know, but what we will be first before what we will do. You know, we are human beings, not human doings. And we need to become spirit beings and godlike beings, not godlike doings. Because it's all the being. And that means being at peace. That will then allow you to flow, not try and strive to do something. So there are two DNA strands that we have in our physical body. And they represent our mother and father and our generational line. And there's a third strand because we were created a three-part being and there were three strands of DNA. We lost the light strand of DNA in a sense in terms of its interaction because you can't see it. But when we realize who we are, that third strand starts to express the characteristics of the light that we carry as the sons of God. And so it carries the record of our eternal image and our purpose, which is why our DNA needs to be transformed, because the order of Melchizedek, and as we're no longer children of Adam, we are now new creations in Christ. So we have new DNA, if you like, but our physical DNA needs to be transformed to come into agreement with that. So our destiny scroll is encoded in light, because God is light and we are light beings. That begins to be released and that stirs the desires of my heart, and I begin to be transformed to conform me to my eternal image, which is why all this stuff is not like set out in a manual. It's in a relationship, and it's in a relationship where you're engaging with light, with God, with spirit, with his heart. And that will begin to be what changes our heart. So every day, you know, I want my scroll to be unveiled to me so that I will fulfill and outwork it every day. Now, I used to go and try and find it. You know, and I would go and like, I want to, what is your will and purpose for me today? And I surrender my will. I don't want any free will, because free will always got me into trouble. I want your will. So I would go and every day ask God for it. So I want your will today. I surrender my will. I want to be a living sacrifice. I present myself to you. I just want to fulfill my destiny. But I want you to tell me what to do. Yeah. So I was wanting to know. I wanted a list. Hey, do this, this, this today. Don't do this. Yeah. But actually, God showed me that. You know, when I first engaged the ark, I was engaging with what was in the ark, not the four faces of God. Never saw it. I saw the manna. I wanted the will of God. So I'd eat the manna. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm receiving your will. Now it's like, yeah, write it on my heart so I can outwork it. And he did. But then when he then took it to another level and I went into the four faces, all of a sudden, I didn't need a list. I had a heart. And Jesus, when he did things on earth, did them according to the heart of God. He didn't do them according to a list. So when it says, you know, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, the Father didn't give him a video of the day to watch and then go and do. The Father in relationship, because he was in that realm, revealed his heart. And then Jesus as a son chose to creatively release the heart of God. So he didn't get heal 15 blind people today and do it this way, this way, this way for each one. He had the heart of God is to heal people, to restore their sight. So Jesus made mud, or Jesus spoke, or Jesus did this creatively. No formula. There's no formula in relationship. As the Christian faith or religion likes formula. It likes it all neatly packaged into a nice, neat theological system, which is what we call systematic theology. And it's all tied up. We know how God works. He does this. And actually, we just need to operate according to these set of rules. So we've just swapped one set of rules that we thought were in the old covenant, and we've got a new set of rules in the new covenant, where actually there are no rules. There's just relationship. So God just wants to move us because we know his heart. And then as sons, we get to outwork that relationship. And it's wonderful. I mean, it frees you up, no end, because you can just be. And the more connected you are to his heart and you're living there, then that's just flowing through you here. So you can just be that way. You know, and God likes to rest. You know, so it's not active all the time. So many Christians, when they're not doing anything, feel guilty because they're not doing anything. It's like we shouldn't feel guilty if we're not doing anything. If God doesn't want us to do anything, then rest. In fact, we should always be at rest, not thinking, oh, what should I be doing? How should I be doing it? Am I going to get it wrong? Just be in complete rest, knowing that God loves us. And if we do sort of make a few odd decisions, then he can work good out of them and bring us back and restore us. Because that's what he's doing all the time, continually at work in our lives to help us walk out the path. So, you know, these scriptures, you know, the word of God is a light to my path. It's the living word of God. It's not the Bible that I have to find today. Well, what do you want me to do today? Well, I'll flick it open and hope it falls to a verse that will help me to do today. You know, it's the chocolate box method. Well, which verse do I want today? You know, it's all sorts of ways. We used to get into, particularly in sort of the old evangelical circles, that was what it was like. You need the word, brother. You know? And actually, yeah, we do, the living word. And we have a relationship with him and with the Father. So the living word spoke in eternity, and I can be engaged with it. So my scroll can be engaged in so many places. You can go to the scroll room and the record room. You can engage it at the ark. You can go into God's heart. But I believe we shouldn't be seeking after it, but we're pursuing relationship, and we'll find that it will outwork. So my scroll, you know, has a preface or a cover, and it's a blueprint. And I saw the blueprint as a video, like, on the scroll. And it gave me an insight into something, but it didn't go into detail because it was never supposed to tell me exactly what to do every minute of every day, but to shape the way I would see my destiny outworked. And for me, people have prophesied various things that have related to that scroll, that picture. And I didn't really tell people about it, but it's an interesting thing. So you may get a sense of your overall purpose. And that will come because you're connecting with God in eternity more likely, and then you can begin to outwork that. And so then as you engage God, you get his DNA and the strands of his DNA, and we become joined to him. So it's like, well, I'm not independent. I'm not on my own. I'm part of something. I'm joined to the Lord. I'm one spirit with him. And as we grow into maturity, we can behold and become conformed to that image. You know, I just love that. Behold and become. Not try and become. Behold and become. Just keep looking at him. keep looking in his face, keep breathing in his life. So I've had experiences that have helped this, some of them I've shared during this time. You know, I've been baptized into him and gone deeper into him. You know, I've been baptized into Jesus, into the Holy Spirit, into the Father. They were each experiences, standing on the Firestone, standing on the dance floor. You know, I love being on the dance floor and dancing with God. You know, sometimes on Sunday morning, I'm sort of swaying around and I'm dancing with God. You know, trying not to probably look an idiot, but, you know, but I sometimes just get lost and I'm just sort of, whoa, this is just wonderful. You know, we sing songs like, you know, Behold, I have come, you know, dance with me, the lover of my soul. Romance me, you know, and he does, and he wants to, if we'll let him. So in a sense, I'm also covered with him. So he covers us. He puts his layers of relationship, his armor on us. So we're covered with the armor of light and the armor of righteousness and the armor of God. And it's like he's covering us with his nature, you know, righteous, peace, and joy, way, truth, and life. Judgment, justice, holiness, all those sort of things. You know, and I engage in his heart. I'm just getting closer and closer to him, which will begin to outwork this. So my scroll has my governmental position encoded within it. And so we're in it are those nine attributes of government revealed in the precepts of God. The precepts, statutes, laws, ordinance, mantles, weapons, scrolls, discoveries, commissioning into sonship. And so you think, oh, what's all that? Well, don't worry about it. But the more you connect with God, the more this stuff will start to unveil and be revealed, and the more you'll realize you have a mantle of authority. You have weapons, more like tools. Weapons tends to sort of have this sort of fighting thing. It's more like tools that we're given to enable us to fulfill what we're called to do. And there are scrolls, and there are things we've yet to discover. And we have commissioning into roles. And that commissioning is progressive. So you may be commissioned in friendship and you have this friendship and then lordship and kingship and sonship or being a chancellor or being a magistrate or being a judge. And there'll be a particular time when you get commissioned. And you know something's changed and you know you have a greater dimension of authority and you have access to things you never had access before. That will happen as you walk out your relationship. Don't try and, oh, well, am I going to be a chancellor? If I'm going to be a chancellor, I'm going to start thinking about chancellor's things. It's just like, because you'll miss what you're supposed to be doing then, thinking about something which doesn't really matter yet. You know, because when you get into that role, then things will be released that you need. You know, so we need to sort of relax. You know, my scroll enables me to recognize and resonate with all things that are part of my destiny, including relationship, task, quest, trials, mandates, ministry, positions, all those sort of callings, all those sort of things. They're all there, but I need to resonate with it, be in peace with it, harmony with it, not strive to try and fulfill it. And so many people are striving to do something that they would get much easier if they just relaxed and rested and allowed God to unveil it and outwork it. Not to sit back and do nothing. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is activity from a position that doesn't need to do those things, but flows from those things because it's not giving us our identity. It's flowing from it. So some questions people ask when we start to talk about destiny are, who am I? You know, where do I come from? You know, what was I designed for? You know, they're good questions, and God does want to answer them, but he wants to give you a relationship to help you discover them, not a set of list of factors that you can study up on and try and figure out. So I do need to understand where I come from, because if I do, I can understand why I'm here today, because they're connected. That comes from relationship. That will lead on to where I'm going tomorrow, you know. So I believe that's how our destiny gets outworked. One day at a time, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Then it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The yesterday is not me looking at yesterday. It's actually being in the now. Yeah. So I have discovered in this journey myself more of the nature of our creator, if you like, and our creation, and how they are so linked together and connected. So who created me? Why and how did he create me? All these questions will help us understand something more of identity, but they're not a cognitive study. They're a relationship unveiling and being restored and made whole. So God is eternal. It may seem really obvious to say that, but it's important to grasp it, because then we start to grasp our eternal aspect. He has always been, he is, he will always be. He is almighty, and that is almighty. He's light, he's love, he's spirit. There's all these things that said he is a consuming fire. And the Bible will tell you sort of so many hundreds and hundreds of names of God. You know, I've got a list of all of them somewhere. Everything that God's called. Our high tower, our shield, our deliverer, our savior, our healer, our righteousness, our sanctification, our banner, our shepherd. I mean, it's just name upon name upon name. Well, they're just words on a page unless you've experienced him as your shepherd, or your banner, or your healer, or your deliverer, or almighty God, or, any of those names. We need to explore and experience. So if we meditate on those scriptures and others like them, they begin to open up a door for us to engage who God is. So sometimes it's great to just, there's all the things that the Bible says God is. And it's a good place to start, because there's a whole lot in there. And before I was meeting him face to face all the time, I would meditate in those things and they would just begin to unfold something as I meditated. Thoughts would come into my mind. I would begin to connect to it. And that's a good place to start if you can't. You're talking about going into eternity. How on earth do you do that? Well, start with where you are, and journey towards that. I didn't go into eternity day one. It was several years later of walking that journey out to find that I had access to something that I never dreamed possible. If someone told me I could go outside of time and space and go into the heart of God, I would have thought, what are you on about? Until I had the experience, and then I know what that now is. But if you don't know yet, you need to experience it. So if we engage him and know him, that intimate relationship with him will help us know who we are by this face-to-face beholding experience. When we're looking at who God made us to be, and people have asked, how do you know you are pre-existent and all that stuff? Well, some of it is because he knew, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So this obviously meant that the person was not yet physically formed in any way, because they weren't in the womb. So their ova and the sperm had not yet come together, and he still knew them. So it wasn't just, he knew them as a thought in his mind. He knew them because they already existed. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So there was already a role, because consecration means being set apart. So they were set. We were all set apart before we're appointed to stuff. So before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. So now what I knew about you and what you were doing before, now you are now going to be appointed in this realm as a prophet to the nations. Now that was Jeremiah. So we're all appointed to things in this realm, but we also all were consecrated in that realm and we're doing things before. So God is also speaking to us. He knew us and he appointed us and he consecrated us before that. So all of us were formed in his heart before we were formed in the womb, and we were already doing things before we came here. So knowing that again, comes out of knowing the intimacy in that relationship with God. Then we can hear him calling our name, and we respond to the conversation where we pick up our name being spoken, because we know who we were. Before I knew my name, I only went by my earthly name. But when I saw my throne and I saw the name written on my throne in heaven, when I first went there in 2008, all of a sudden I resonated with a name which was not an earthly name. It was a description of me. And I resonated with it. And now when I hear that, it draws me. And my ears prick up, if you like, in the spirit. Because it's like, ooh, what's he saying? You know? And I found that he says a lot, you know, if we're willing to listen. So it wasn't some vague thought that God had. You know, we're not a vague thought. We're a very specific thought. We existed before we were in the womb. God has always known us from his perspective. Since intimacy is two-way, actually, we knew him too then. So the problem is, if it's one way, well, God knew me. Oh, well, that's great. But what about, did I know him? Yes. And what we're doing is reconnecting with what we knew about him and rediscovering it so that we can come into it all afresh again. So he consecrated us, set us apart for relationship and for purpose. He had a purpose for each of us that he knew and that we knew before we were actually formed. But I think this sort of sad thing is this amnesia that took place, that we come into this realm, and because this realm is broken and separated and is being restored, we didn't come with the full memory of everything. Some of it draws you even though you don't ever remember it, because we're drawn to our destiny. Even if we don't really know it, something has got us on that path towards it. So it's really part of our being. You know, it's encoded within us, but we have to discover it again. So for what is it for you? You know, what is the name he's given you? I want to encourage you to find it, to ask him. If you don't know what it is, ask him. I know someone was saying that they heard their name during this time here, which is great. I love that. But all of you ask. If you don't know, ask him. You know, and then it's like, well, who am I called to be? You know, because my name will also reveal my identity. And then what does that release me to do? Don't try with the what am I appointed to do first without the identity and the name. So the good news, we can all know what it is. If you don't know, ask him. You know, just ask him to unveil it. Don't ask him to show you your scroll. You know, ask him to unveil your identity that will reveal what flows out from that identity. So we bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15:48 says, as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. As the heavenly, also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So we need these things working together. So we already had a heavenly image, which now needs to be outworked through what we do here. And they shouldn't be separated. That's the message. So we were born with this earthly body, but we're also born from above. And now we've been like reborn from above to reconnect to. And so this have our spirit is active and alive to God, so we can bear that heavenly image to the earth. So a lot of this comes down to, you know, how do we experience this? How do we engage this? What doors do we go through? Do we need to jump through any hoops? You know, how do we get there? Rest, relationship, intimacy, and all these things will begin to open up for us. And I believe that we're in a place where we can begin to experience way more than we ever imagined or ever thought, and discover, you know, in relationship where all this stuff comes from. And so I want to encourage you to pursue this. We're going to engage this. We're going to do an activation to help you engage this, to engage in it, to go and experience it. So we pre-existed, not in cold storage. Some people think, well, yes, we pre-existed, but we were in cold storage until we came into this realm. You know, as if we didn't do anything before. We were in cold storage, so we don't really know anything in that. And then God defrosted us and we sent us into this earthly body. It's like, it wasn't like that. You know, we weren't in cold storage. We observed creation. We participated in things. You know, we had a spiritual function before this physical dimension even existed. We were light. You know, it's part of the whole of creation is being light. And we were light. And we are light. And our spirit is that. When I saw creation in 2010, when I was in heaven, one of the things, the the Holy Spirit did is took me in on the timeline and showed me creation. And it was the most amazing thing. You know, it was like the lion roared and out came this big bang, you know, of wow. And then I saw a picture painted by Akiana Kaczmarek. And it was called Creation. And it was just like, wow, that's what I saw. Because she's seen things in heaven and seen things like that, and she paints them. I mean, I would have loved to be able to paint that, but no chance. But seeing her painting, it was like, yeah, that's what I saw. But literally, when I began to connect up with who I was, I remembered creation. You know, it's almost like I started to remember what it was like and how amazing it was. And, you know, that really, really sort of empowers me. You know, how precious are your thoughts? You know, that's so wonderful. And God wants us to know those thoughts, to get hold of those thoughts, to let those thoughts transform us, change us, conform us. You know? So I guarantee not any of us knows 100% of the way God thinks about us. Because if we did, you wouldn't be sat here, probably. You know, but we can, bit by bit, listen and hear. And the more we allow God's thoughts towards us to affect the way we think about ourselves, the more transformation takes place, the more our lives will become like Jesus, the Son of God, that we are sons of God. The more then we will do the things that he did. Now, we're trying to do the things that he did without having the image of sonship. So it becomes formulaic. We'll try and learn how to minister to people. We try and learn how to heal people. We try and learn these techniques when we just need just to be sons, and we will be able to do the things that sons do. So identity is so important. So the thoughts of God towards us today are totally in tune with what was written on our scroll before the foundation of the world and what we agreed to for this realm. Some people, I've heard people teach that our scroll contained all the bad things that happened to us. It didn't. And some of them are angry with God because he put all bad things on their scroll. There was nothing bad that was on your scroll. But we live in a fallen, broken environment, and things happen to us not as God intended. But God can even use those things to bring good and weave them into his story. You know? But it doesn't mean that when we agreed our scroll, that we agreed for bad things. Destiny is not fate. It's not guaranteed to outwork unless we agree. Now, we did agree when we engaged the Yesod of God, and we'll do that in the next session, of how the court of the Lord was an agreement with our destiny, and we can actually reconnect to our scroll there. But we have a choice. We have a choice to agree with God, to pursue it or not to pursue it. So I want to just open up the opportunity for you to walk back into eternity and to re-engage with the eternal aspect of the heart of God there for you. I can't guarantee that you will be able to do that. I don't know where you are individually and whether you're ready for that or not, but you can ask God and ask Jesus to take you there. And if you're able, if he's able, he will. You know, but whatever he'll do, he'll take you somewhere that will be part of your journey into that realm. You know, I didn't do this at the beginning, but it opened up to me. So heaven's open. And again, I would encourage you to think of that open heaven and then close your eyes and let that thinking form the picture of the open heaven and the ladder walking up to heaven. And hear the invitation again to come up here. If you're already in that realm, then just engage with Jesus who's in the door. And as you step into that realm, just ask Jesus to help you engage with the ark within the tabernacle. Because that's where we're going to go to access eternity in this thing. So just let Jesus lead you, first of all, to the ark of the presence of God. And we can stand in the ark of the presence of God, within the four faces, seeing the four faces, within the Yod, He, Vav, He of his name, the four faces, the lion, ox, eagle, man. So we can stand before the four faces and then step into his name. And that's a step of choice, to step into the manifestation of his presence there. And as you step into his presence, ask Jesus to allow you to walk on the ancient path, to engage in his heart, and then you may find yourself transported into that place. You may find Jesus will just walk with you into that place. Then just step with him and walk in him wherever he leads you, wherever you go. And when you're there, within the heart of God's presence, you may feel cocooned in love. You may feel the Father revealing that deep sense of his love for you, his revealing his heart for you. You may see yourself as light, as a being of light. You may feel the conversation that's all around you. You may hear his thoughts about you. You may feel who you were, always meant to be, sense your eternal identity. Who knows what it will be? But I will just encourage you now just to relax and just allow that to take place. Allow him to take you back into that place of intimacy, that place of awesome relationship, that the eternal aspect of who you are will begin to be unveiled to you at a deeper and deeper level. Thank you. Okay. I would encourage you also not just to make these one-off little exercises, but to develop this as a lifestyle that you can enter into these things, go deeper into them. You know, you're not going to get in one experience all the things that God wants to release. It's going to be over and over again going deeper and deeper into it. So the revelation of who you are will come from the revelation of who he is. So I'd encourage you to do that.